From airports to coffee shops to local parks, it's never been easier to find places to access wireless internet networks and get online remotely. But unlike home-based Wi-Fi, which usually encrypts data, public hotspots often lack adequate security. And that's not something to take lightly if you're logging into your bank account or buying something online with your phone or laptop. The Boston Globe's technology reporter Hiawatha Bray writes about the benefits and limitations of public Wi-Fi in today's paper, and he joins us now on the show for a recap. Hiawatha, nice to have you back.
Glad to be here.
All right, and now that we've finally been having some summery weather, you have been noticing more people sitting outside on places like the steps of public libraries, but you had a realization that many of them aren't just there for the view and the fresh air. What are they there for?
Absolutely not. I noticed this actually starting back as far back as last year. I live in Quincy, and when you're walking past the Quincy Public Library at night after the library's closed, you'll find people sitting out front of the library some nights with their smartphones because they don't have to use their data plans. They can just get onto the library's Wi-Fi service and use that. But this kind of free service is popping up everywhere. And you know, it is important also as an economic issue because increasingly there are people who go to places like that because it's the only place they can get broadband access.
Right.
And like the Wall Street Journal last year had a story about a town, I think it was in Alabama, where everybody went to McDonald's to do their homework because it was they couldn't afford broadband.
They didn't have it at home. That's right.
Absolutely. And it's become commonplace. A huge number of retailers do it. Dunkin' Donuts has now started doing it. Panera, Starbucks, of course, and so on. But whenever you're using somebody else's Wi-Fi hotspot, you've got all these problems that you have to reckon with.
Right. And let's get to that. But before we talk about the problems, let's talk about some of the benefits, because you just mentioned some of the private places like restaurants that are offering free Wi-Fi, but even governments are. The city of Boston is rolling out a network of free hotspots in neighborhoods and commercial districts. Now, you say weird? Why weird?
Well, it's weird because a few years ago, this was the big rage. Remember, all the cities in America were going to offer these free citywide Wi-Fi networks. Philadelphia and Boston and a number of other cities were supposed to be building them, and the whole thing sort of petered out. But now it seems to be slowly creeping back, certainly in Boston, where they've just unveiled a whole bunch of them scattered in places all over the city, and Mayor Walsh has said that they're going to be little by little putting them, at least to some extent, at public parks and other locations throughout the city. And little by little, there are going to be these areas where you will just be able to stop as you walk down the street and get a decent Wi-Fi signal.
And there's a map, an online map that helped people
Absolutely.
Locate them. You checked it out. What did you think of that map?
Well, there are problems with it. The problem I found, I was out there near Joe Moakley Park trying to find a hotspot, and the big problem is that Wi-Fi has such limited range. It's only about 100 yards.
Ah.
And so you're near the hotspot, but you don't know exactly where it is. See, when you go to Starbucks, you know where it is. It's in the store. But when you're on the street in some part of Boston and you're wandering around with your smartphone going, where's the signal? Where's the signal? And it took me like 10 minutes to get close enough to be sure I was getting a good signal and I was able to use it.
So the map told you it was nearby, but your device couldn't quite find it.
Couldn't quite find it. Exactly. They ought to put up signs. You know what they should do? I think they should take like a bullseye. Paint a bullseye right on the pavement. That would be great. And the other problem is that the city's Wi-Fi is kind of slow. It really is. They warned people about that, and they were not lying. I was getting maybe a megabyte or, about a megabit per second, which is really slow by today's standards. Conversely, though, you know about the cable company. This isn't free exactly, but if you happen to have a subscription to Comcast, you basically can get free Wi-Fi from them because you use your Comcast password on your smartphone, and they have hotspots everywhere now.
Ah.
Hundreds of them all through Boston. You know why? It's because they have put Wi-Fi routers for public use onto the modems that they give their customers.
Now, I thought this was such an interesting part of your column because what people don't realize is that there are two signals, one for them, one for everybody else in their own
home.
That's
right. They started doing this about a year ago. They've got, well, now they say about 3 million of these nationwide. And what happens is when you get an account, a broadband account from Comcast, their Xfinity service, as they call it, you can buy your own router and then this won't happen. But if you let them give you the router, it's got two Wi-Fi signals, one for you to use and one for anybody who also is a Comcast subscriber who happens to be in the neighborhood.
That was something quite interesting I learned today from you. I'm really glad to learn that. Now, let's make sure we get to the security concerns. And I had a personal situation recently where I was traveling for work. So I was using a hotel Wi-Fi. I was using a different hotel where I was staying Wi-Fi. And one of the IT guys at WBUR had said to me that oftentimes hotel Wi-Fi is where people get hacked. So I was a little bit nervous. So tell us about the concerns of using public Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, there are all kinds of problems. I mean, basically, you're using somebody else's network. It's that simple. And, for example, how do you even know that the router you're connecting to really is, say, that of Starbucks or McDonald's or whoever, or the hotel? Because there is the very basic technique, it's called evil twin, where somebody just sets up their own Wi-Fi router and just types in the name. They can make it look like it's the router of a particular business, and you connect to theirs instead of connecting to your own.
That's meant to lure you in and then hack you?
It's meant to lure you in so they can start reading the data on your computer. If you've got file sharing open on your computer and you're doing that with a laptop, for example, they could read all the files on your machine. There are all kinds of things that they could do.
So, Hiawatha, how do we protect ourselves from this?
Well, there's really no absolutely surefire protection against that, except using a technology called a virtual private network, or VPN, where basically you are routing your data through a third-party server that encrypts all the data and basically ensures that even if somebody else, even if you connect to the VPN through a phony hotspot, they still can't read whatever it is you're transmitting. The problem with VPNs is they make your signal run like molasses. Not all the time. It depends. There are a lot of them on the market. Some work better than others. But the free ones, which a lot of people will want to use, the free ones, they tend to be a little on the slow side. So if you want really fast broadband, you may have real problems if you start using a VPN.
And you also caution people that you might, you know, you should feel more comfortable checking email and reading news than buying things online or accessing your bank account. That could make you quite
vulnerable.
Absolutely.
That's one of the most simple ways you can protect yourself. If you're just doing things like reading the news or getting the weather or something like that, or streaming videos on YouTube, who cares? But if you're doing anything like your banking or anything sensitive, you might not want to do it on a public open hotspot if you're not using a VPN.
With that caveat, we say thank you. This is Hiawatha Bray. He writes about technology for the Boston Globe, and he joins us regularly on Radio Boston. Hiawatha, thank you.
You're welcome.
And stay with us. Coming up, WBUR's new series, Brain Matters, reporting from the front lines of neuroscience. We'll explore how the brain works and how it could lead to breakthroughs in treating mental illness. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.